This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's the End Logging on Public Land Enviro Show. I am one of your co-hosts, Dio, and I'm not in the studio with...
Hey, I'm Glenn Ayers.
Hey, Enviro Show listeners, you may have seen the hashtag on our blog here. It's hashtag End Logging on Public Land. And we've had that for a couple of years. And recently, the Massachusetts Sierra Club's Forest Protection Team added the phrase to a new campaign they're rolling out as we speak. So Lynn Mann, Bill Stubblefield, and Bart Baratius from the team join us for the latest on that. Okay, now it's time for Enviro Show Quote of the Week. All right. I like this. This is good for our interview and our entire show, for that matter, and previous shows as well. And from one of my favorite authors, quote, "Let us seek peace near the inland murmur of streams and the gracious waving of trees, the beauteous vesture of earth and the sublime pageantry of the skies. Let us leave life that we may live." Mary Shelley wrote that, Glenn.
Nice. You know, that is...
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Famous for Frankenstein is what she's known for most. But
yeah,
she was an amazing woman for her age, too. Okay, shall we move on to our interview?
Yeah. Well, I won't do much of an intro because this is a great interview with folks from the Sierra Club that have... I mean, this is really activism like 101. And I think that what we're going to find is that this is going to turn into a movement. And I predict that this will be a successful campaign by the Sierra Club and by these folks. So let's get into that interview and then we'll talk about it on the other side. Today on the Enviro Show, we are joined by Lynn Mann, Bart Baratius, and Bill Stubblefield, and they're three members of the Sierra Club Forest Protection Team. And we're going to be talking about a Sierra Club campaign that this group has launched, having to do with protecting the state-owned lands surrounding the water supply for essentially Eastern Mass, and that's the Quabbin Reservoir, the Ware River watershed, and the Wachusett Reservoir watershed area. And that water system has a long history here in Western Mass, and we'll get into that. But the key thing about this campaign is that this is being run by the Sierra Club, and it represents an enormous change from, we've been talking about this issue on the Enviro Show for almost 20 years, and this campaign represents an enormous change in the way the Sierra Club had approached this issue previously. And so we want to get a little introduction from you folks about how that change occurred, and then we'll talk about a little bit of the history of the Quabbin Reservoir, and then get into sort of the science and the policy having to do with the current management of those so-called watershed protection lands and what that means for the wildlife, for nature, and for the water supply itself. And then we'll tell folks how they can get involved in this campaign, this effort to really protect the lands surrounding these water supply areas. So I think first we'll go to Lynn, who led this effort, I'm going to say, resurrected or created the Forest Protection Team at the Sierra Club a few years ago. And so, Lynn, if you would introduce yourself and then tell us how this happened, how we got to this point, and what the campaign is all about.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks. And thanks for the opportunity to talk on the EnviroShow. We really appreciate it a lot. So when we first started the forest protection team at the Sierra Club, we were very focused on legislation. So we worked with Restore the North Woods with Michael Kellett and with Janet Sinclair from Save Massachusetts Forests and with Wendell State Forest Alliance and some other groups around to try to pass legislation that would essentially stop all logging from the Department of Conservation and Recreation. And part of the logging that is conducted routinely by the Department of Fish and Game under Mass Wildlife. So those were our goals. Restore and Save Massachusetts Forests have tried three times now to introduce legislation to accomplish those goals, and it has failed every time. So while we won't give up on that, that's still a priority. We thought that it might be more realistic to focus on a smaller scale. Like maybe we could ask for permanent protections for less land. And if we were going to do that, which land would be the most important for us to protect and get the state to stop cutting trees on public lands? And so that's how we came up with the Quabbin, Wachusett, and Ware watershed areas. Because in those areas, we have a very large contiguous corridor of state-owned land. And even though they log heavily out there now, it still is a really good opportunity for the state to be able to preserve permanently those particular public forests. Currently, they are intensively managed. They're the most intensively managed in southern New England, meaning that more forests are cut there than anywhere else. So there's a lot of patch cuts already that are fragmenting the forest all the time. We would like to halt that and see that redevelop into permanently preserved wildlife corridors. The state could easily preserve these lands, and it's an opportunity for them to do so. It would benefit people from across the state, not only the people out in Western Mass who enjoy hiking there and the nature that that provides, but also the people in the eastern part of the state who receive their water from these watersheds as well. At the same time, we're not at this is just public lands, and there are private lands in these watershed areas. We're not asking for changes on the private lands, and private landowners would still be free to make decisions about forest management on their own property. So we're not asking to interfere with that, and there's plenty of opportunity for state foresters to get involved with that as well, which they already do. So that wouldn't be a huge change. And so what we're doing with this campaign is we're looking to develop broad public support from both individuals as well as various conservation organizations and groups to protect the public forests and public watershed areas. So there are various components to the campaign. One is we've developed a petition, and we would like people to sign the petition. And I can get into this in more detail at the end of this podcast. And then also we have outings and a hike coming up that would show people how beautiful the Quabbin is and also what a logged area looks like. And we'd like to talk a little bit about making sure that you contact your legislators and keep the push going for legislation that would legally require our public forests to be preserved into wildlands. And so I'm going to stop right there in terms of the Sierra Club campaign. And I think Bart's going to talk a little bit about historically how this even came about.
Okay, so I'm Bart Baricius, and I've been studying forests for a very long time, actually since 1972 in boreal forests in northern Sweden. And then I was involved with tropical forests and also with forests in Massachusetts. And I'm just going to do a nutshell of the history, because we're going to have Bill Stubblefield talk a little bit longer of some of the details of what's happening and why it's happening in the Quabbin and the other watershed areas we're looking at. So I will say that in the 1930s, there were plans to expand, increase the Boston water supply. The plans were actually developed in the 20s, And in the 30s, the plans were implemented. This involved the disappearance of four communities, which were taken by eminent domain. The foresters organized the replacement on some of this land with red pine plantations, which at that time they thought was a good idea. They don't seem to think that anymore. And most of the forest is today 60 to 100 years old. That's the older forest, the part that hasn't been cut with various patch cut, with various just different justifications. And at this point, I think I'm just going to turn it over to Bill Stubblefield, because he has a lot more to say about why and how things are done and how they might and what their justifications and so forth are.
Okay, thank you, Bart. I'm Bill Stubblefield. What I want to talk about a little bit is why the hell are they logging on a watershed? What's the justification they offer for doing that? After all, we all know that when you cut down trees, you increase potential for erosion, for runoff into the reservoir. Why would you log, or how could you justify logging? So they had to come up with an argument that justified active management and continued logging on the forest recovering around the reservoirs. And they came up with a notion of a watershed protection forest. First off, they admit that logging doesn't improve water quality. Everyone knows that isn't true. But they do argue that if you don't log too much, you can't tell the difference. And then they go on to say there are lots of other long-term benefits that are claimed for logging. In particular, they have a notion that by managing the forest intensively, having lots of patches of different ages and different species composition, that is a kind of insurance policy for entering a climate change age where we expect lots more disturbance, invasive organisms, pest outbreaks, but also massive storms like the 1938 hurricane that destroyed so many trees. So the argument is that if you intensively manage the forest through logging, you get a kind of assurance policy that will protect you from these coming threats. But these threats are part of the natural course of events, and forests have evolved to recover rapidly and effectively from them, so you don't really need to arrange extra disturbance to protect yourself from them. In fact, the great windstorm, for example, will blow over lots of trees, but that shapes the forest floor with dips and mounds that help store water and provide opportunities for forest succession and lots of forest creatures to survive. Another justification is that we need lots of young forest or early successional habitat because lots of species, favorite species, especially game animals, prefer that kind of habitat. And logging, of course, produces early successional habitat. But there's no evidence that A, ecological services decline from natural disturbances, and natural disturbances actually have benefits for forest structure. And secondly, the logging doesn't actually help water quality. So at the end of the day, it's a program that is entirely unnecessary. And it's really just an argument for justifying active management, more logging. And one other aspect of this is that when you look around the state of Massachusetts or all around New England, what habitat is most threatened and in need of protection in order to guarantee biodiversity going forward? And that's older forests, mature forests that have had decades to grow old and to the time for all the forest organisms to arrive and become established. So when the colonists first arrived in New England, it was overwhelmingly old growth forest. And then it was cut down for agricultural purposes. And a lot of organisms came into the state at that time. Many of those are declining now because the forest has been growing up over the last decades. So the open field, the old fields returning to forests are becoming less part of the landscape, and that's changing the species composition in the state. So this is the watershed lands offer a real opportunity to build more older forest, interior forest, far from the edges. And there's a huge fraction of the biodiversity that depends on these older forests. Moreover, it's the older forests that store vastly more carbon and are adding more carbon every year. So they're a better buffer against climate change and the ability to actually extract CO2 from the atmosphere instead of adding to it. And at the same time, providing high quality water for the 51 communities or more in the eastern part of the state. So maybe I'll stop there and see if there are any questions. And I know Lynn wants to tell us more about how to get involved.
Yep, Bill, this is Dio. I do have a question. When I hear Kafkaesque phrases like water protection, watershed protection forest, I think of the older Kafkaesque phrases like climate resilience and early successional habitat. Have you ever heard from anyone from DCR or Mass Wildlife actually come up with science behind the need for early successional habitat when actually out here in the state of Massachusetts, we have more early successional habitat than we know what to do with?
Yes. It's a very strange situation where they're creating more and more habitat that's the very habitat that dominates the state, especially with miles upon miles of power transmission lines that are maintained in early successional habitat all the time. But this idea of a watershed protection forest dates back to 1998 and was developed by Paul Barton and Tom Kiker Snowman. And it was the idea that by logging, we could have our cake and eat it too. We don't log so much that we hurt water quality in the short term, but we get this longer term insurance policy. But as you're suggesting, there's no evidence for that, although it would be possible to get the evidence. Like if you really thought that was the case, why not have this sub watershed managed the way you're suggesting and this part left alone so we could actually determine whether the active management improved things in any measurable way? But they've never done that. After all, you don't want facts to get in the way of your story. And it's actually more insidious than that, because when the state asks the water supply protection people to justify their logging program, they set up a committee and they put in charge of it. And the person who actually wrote the report was inventor of the watershed protection idea. So it's kind of a corrupt process all the way through.
This is Glenn, and I have hiked a lot in the Quabbin area and a little bit in the other watershed areas, but the area surrounding the Quabbin is about 90,000 acres of state-owned lands, and it is the largest contiguous area of state-owned lands in Massachusetts. We have a couple of other state forests that are around 15 or 16,000 acres in size. And that would be the Miles Standish State Forest and October Mountain in the western part of the state. But as far as the largest contiguous block of state-owned property, that is the area surrounding the Quabbin Reservoir and including some of the other watershed areas. And the Quabbin area has been referred to in the past as an accidental wilderness because it was set aside specifically to protect the water quality for the folks in the eastern part of the state. And yet, when I think of wilderness, even an accidental wilderness, I don't think of industrial scale logging activities with heavy, heavy machinery going in and clear cutting areas or patch cutting areas. And I don't think of resource extraction when I think of wilderness. I actually think of the opposite. I think of places like the wilderness areas in the Green Mountain National Forest or the White Mountain National Forest, where there is no industrial scale activities. Or I think of the Adirondack State Park, where the state-owned lands in the Adirondacks are either wilderness areas or wild forests, which are off limits to any sort of commercial logging. And so I'm wondering how we got this accidental wilderness designation when in reality, this is an area that is subject to extreme resource exploitation and heavy, heavy damage. I've hiked in these areas after they're logged, and they're nothing you would ever want to visit. It's not something that is nice to hike through. As a matter of fact, you can't hike through it. It's more like a bombed out landscape, the result of war against nature. And so yeah, I'm wondering how this can be flipped around so that we're not intentionally destroying nature, which is what their management, so-called management is now, and how instead we can have these areas protected in perpetuity and really have a non-accidental wilderness, an intentional wilderness created out of these state-owned lands. So that's the idea that I'm in favor of, is an intentional wilderness area that would protect all of the things you've been talking about, biodiversity, water quality, the climate. And eventually that area will be an old growth forest, and it will be the most spectacular place by far in Massachusetts.
Hear, hear. Exactly. Right on. That's the goal of our campaign. We agree with you 1,000%. This land should be protected. This is the way to maximize the public good on public land. And there's no sensible justification for industrial logging on these lands, just as you pointed out. So thank you for that.
So recently there was a committee that was formed by Maura Healey to talk about forestry and climate. And that report, I know that there were several members of that committee who stated pretty emphatically that there was no scientific justification, or really economic too, but there's no justification for logging in the watershed areas. And I'm wondering if that's the case with Maura Healey, why doesn't the Healey administration put in practice what their own climate forestry committee members have stated? And they put that out in a report in writing.
Can I just add to that, Glenn? So yeah, they did. And there were some scientists that were on their committee that objected to continuing the logging in that area. That was from the Forests as Climate Solutions group, but also there's been an the Healey administration put out an executive order. I think it's 618. I'm not positive, but it's to promote biodiversity in the state. And unfortunately, they put DFW, or they put the Department of Fish and Game, in charge of in developing biodiversity goals for the state, and then strategies to meet those goals. And so it's a lot of business as usual. It includes quote unquote forest management, climate smart forest management, or whatever. But they do have some listening sessions coming up. One of the things that we've talked about in our team, our forest protection team, is that it would be really critical for the biodiversity goals for them to do an inventory. They don't even know what they have for the most part. They don't, I mean, there's a carbon inventory that I'm not sure how they do that, but they don't know what kind of wildlife they have. They just don't have a good inventory. And so if they're going to be doing forest management, they should be doing some research on it. They should be doing controlled studies where you have pre and post and you have a control to compare it to, and looking at data and using data to inform what they're to develop their management practices. And I know, Bill, you've talked about this a lot also. I don't know if you have anything else you want to add to that.
Well, this is a golden opportunity to protect some really valuable natural systems that we're utterly dependent on and get short shrift so often in favor of growth and more extraction. So this is a familiar but very important problem we have to deal with. And one of the reasons we went after the Quabbin and the other reservoirs is this is really a statewide issue and really has meaning all the way across the state. We like to say that the Quabbin and the other reservoirs could be a bright green pendant to set off the Emerald Necklace in Boston. And it would be something we could really be proud of as the people of Massachusetts, just as the people of New York are proud of their Adirondack wilderness area. So this is a real opportunity to do something really fundamental for a lot of critical global issues. And we already own the land. It's just a matter of political motivation and action to make it a reality. So that's what this campaign is about. And I know Lynn has some particular ways we can all be more involved in moving this forward.
So I mentioned them briefly in the beginning, and I'll just say again, it would be great if people could go to our website and find the petition and that ask, we're going to be submitting this petition to Governor Healey to ask her to stop logging in the Quabbin, Wachusett, and Ware watersheds. I did give Dio and Glenn a link, and that will probably be in your notes. You can also go to the Sierra Club's website, Sierra Club Massachusetts. Go to the Forest Protection Team. There is, at the bottom of the page, there's a link to it. And so you could sign there if you are representing a conservation organization. If you could get your organization to sign, that would be awesome too. We would like to do tabling events. We have a brochure that we just developed and some handouts and so forth. And so anybody who's interested in promoting this, if you have a tabling event and want some brochures or some more information to help promote it at your table, we'd be happy to provide that. Also, we do outings where we go and hike through the woods, and you can see how beautiful these woods are. And there is one coming up on August 24th that's actually in the Quabbin area. It's free. Just go to the website and sign up. It's on the events calendar, and there's a registration page. If you just go to events calendar in Massachusetts Sierra Club, it's on August 24th, and you can register right from that calendar. The basic outing walk is just 2 miles. It's through undisturbed forest. and then it ends at a recent logging site on public land. And it's being sponsored by Sierra Club and Restore the North Woods and Save Massachusetts Forests. There's an optional 3 to 5 mile hike after that through the Northern Hardwood Forest with views of the Quabbin Reservoir. It should be really, really nice. So that's another thing that you can do to learn more about it.
Excellent. We've added all those events to our blog. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. To your legislators, tell your legislators that you don't want to see the state cutting down forests on state-owned land. This is our land. Let them know that. And then finally, like I mentioned before, attend one of these public listening sessions on statewide biodiversity goals and let your thoughts be known.
Well, Lynn, thanks for pointing out that our elected officials, our state representatives and senators, they should be the ones leading on this. I understand that the Sierra Club is often ahead of our legislators when it comes to trying to protect the natural world. But our local representatives that cover this area, Senator Comerford and Representative Blay and Susanna Whips and some of the other representatives in the North Quabbin area, they should be leading this effort to protect these lands. So I really encourage our listeners to contact their state elected officials and let them know that this is a really important thing that they need to show leadership on, because it's really up to the legislature to fix this mess. Right now, we have these agencies that are out of control. They're rogue agencies, as far as I'm concerned, and it's going to require the legislature to rein them in. And I'm just going to end by saying that it's so awesome that the Sierra Club has taken this on as a campaign and a mission. And I think that, you know, based on the activities of the members of the Sierra Club and finding allies and bringing in other groups, I think this will be a successful campaign. This is what really has been needed for a long time. So I really want to thank, the three of you and the other folks on the Forest Protection Team at the Sierra Club for, you know, all your advocacy and your organizing and activism. And it's long overdue to protect this essential area and make it not an accidental wilderness that's subject to exploitation, but to make it an intentional wilderness for the future and for the climate.
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much opportunity to speak too. We do appreciate it, and for all the support.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, we're back. So that was good.
Yeah, this issue is something that obviously, you know, we've covered it tangentially. We've talked about it on a few shows in the past, but this campaign is now up and running and it's gaining momentum. And so I really encourage our listeners to check it out, get involved, because this is really something that, I don't know what to say, you can really sink your teeth into this campaign. It's really got some substance, and it's entirely doable. It is not a lost cause. This is something that is completely within our ability to accomplish. So let's all work toward stopping this crazy, crazy mismanagement of these state-owned lands. And yeah, you know, let's do this.
Yeah. Once again, let's remember the victories that we've already had in Massachusetts, kicking Kinder Morgan out and kicking out the nuke on the Montague Plain and so many others, and getting the biomass out of Greenfield. We've had a lot of victories. And this one, I got a hunch, Glenn, that I see a victory in our near future.
Yeah, this is totally doable, and so let's do it.
All right, there it is. What else? There's something else. Oh, I remember now. Viral Show listeners, we're leaving now, but please remember to listen to your mother. This is Dio saying adios.
And I'm Glenn Ayers, and let's just stop logging in the Quabbin and watershed lands, and get active, folks, and let's do it.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.